Credit Union, your Southeast financial partner. Started by teachers and public workers in 1963, celebrating 60 years rooted in the Tongass National Forest. Now with 12 locations throughout Southeast, serving local communities. Locally in the Caden Building on Front Street, or learn more at tongassfcu.com.
In local weather today, showers are likely. It's mostly cloudy with a high near 51 degrees and southeast winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, periods of rain, low around 41 degrees, and southeast winds between 20 to 25 miles per hour. And tomorrow, which is Wednesday, expect rain with a high near 53 degrees and southeast winds between 10 to 15 miles per hour. In local news, Ringgold High School students were awarded an Environmental Science and Sustainability Award last week. They now have the opportunity to present their research at a national conference in October. KSTK has more. Senior Alicia Armstrong and her classmates compared microplastics in two of Ringgold's harbors. They collected water samples from Reliance Float and Heritage Harbor to check the microplastic count. All five students compared the numbers to results from the year before. The students hypothesized that microfibers and microplastic would be consistent with the 2023 data that last year's students tested. Armstrong says, after all, boat usage and the population remain the same over the year.
They did this project last year, and our main topic was to see if the microplastic count has risen since last year, and our data showed that it actually did.
In fact, it increased by a lot. Armstrong says that the amount of microplastics increased by about 50% at Heritage Harbor and nearly 200% at Reliance Float. The Ringgold experiment was part of a program known as RAISR, or Rural Alaska Students in One Health Research. They presented their scientific research poster at the American Indian Scientific and Engineering Society's regional fair online. 21 different presentations were given that day. Ringgold students were awarded the Environmental Science and Sustainability Award, representing Ha'ani, protecting and honoring our land. The project also landed the students in third place in the regional competition. Stella Churchill, who is a junior, says they considered several topics to research.
We looked at doing shellfish toxins and crab larvae and looking at green crabs.
But they chose to test microplastics in the water because they had recent data and it was the most interesting to the group. Junior Aubrey Wynn says that microplastics affect one of the main industries in Southeast Alaska.
Having large amounts of microplastics in our ocean would affect our fishing industry, and we rely heavily on that. And it's kind of what makes Wrangle Wrangle. And same thing all throughout Southeast.
Science teacher Heather Howe says she found out about the group receiving the two awards through a Zoom call at the beginning of one of her classes. She's been facilitating the local RAISR program since 2020 and was shocked by the news.
I literally got up from my desk and like ran down the hallway, ran into Boom Chain's room. He was in the math room. I'm like, Boom Chain, you guys won! And I sprinted to the office and told Aubrey and Della the same thing because they happened to be in there.
The recognition allows them to present their research on the national level at the American Indian Science and Engineering Society National Conference. It takes place in October in San Antonio, Texas.
I may be more excited than they were, but I was thrilled.
The Ringgold students aren't sure if they'll present their research at the conference, though. Armstrong will be graduating this year, and the other students are committed to sports during the fall. Presenting remotely isn't an option, so they'll have to work out the details. The RAISR program is available to high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors in most Southeast Alaska communities. It's developed by the University of Alaska Fairbanks and is based out of Sitka. In Ringgold, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
In regional news, the Tongass National Forest is a 17-million-acre temperate rainforest covering most of Southeast Alaska. It's managed by the U.S. Forest Service, which is revising its long-term plan for the Tongass. The previous plan is 25 years old and was revised in 2016. The agency will spend the rest of this year gathering public input and then take the next couple of years to finalize a new plan. Barb Miranda is the deputy forest supervisor for the Tongass. She spoke with Coast Alaska's Angela Denning about the Forest Service's process to make a new plan. She says the entire thing relies on public input.
For the first time in over 25 years, we're going to go through a major overhaul of the Tongass Forest Management Plan. So the things that have changed in those 25 years, think about every town in Southeast Alaska, their economy, the tourism demands that have changed, the way we've extracted resources from the Tongass has shifted remarkably in those 25 years. 25 years ago was the end of the pulp mill industry. Now we're looking at second growth wood and how to utilize that in our local economies and for local sawmills. The climate, our understanding of climate change and how that's impacting the forests around us and the waterways around us has changed. Our population has shifted, and there's an increased demand for recreation, conservation, and restoration on our forest lands. So we're revising a 25-year-old plan with the new planning rule that will give us a plan for the next 15 or so years.
So why should somebody in any town in Southeast care about what's in this plan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we all know, those of us that live here in Southeast, the Tongass is our backyard, our playground, and most of the land surrounding our small communities is the Tongass National Forest. So if you care about what happens, you know, what kind of actions can take place in the area immediately around your town or those places that are special to you and special to all of us at, where we go berry picking, foraging, the access to cabins, all those things are going to be included in this high level plan and will guide how the Tongass is managed for the next 15 or so years.
What is the public process like for this long-term plan? I know community meetings have been held throughout Southeast in April. How can the public get involved now?
Yeah, great question. We're in a marathon, not a sprint, for the forest plan. We are in the first phase of forest plan revision, and we're in a phase called assessment. Like you said, we just completed our community workshops across Southeast Alaska. We've got a couple left, but we've done about 25 community workshops, and everybody will be able to see the information we received at those workshops synthesized into a report out here in the next couple months. But we also have on our website webinars, other information, a library, how to be involved. You can sign up to be receive notifications about this. In addition to that, we have office hours twice a month. The schedule is on that website where people can tune in, and our planning team will be there ready to answer any questions folks might have about forest plan revision.
And how long do people have to make comments, and when do you plan to have the plan done?
So right now, like I said, we're in that first phase of planning, which is the assessment phase. It's open. We are taking comments throughout this whole year. We will have the draft assessment available for review in January of 2025. So information to feed into the assessments is most valuable between now and then. Hopefully, you know, the fall would be when we're finalizing, gathering information, and then synthesizing those into a document.
Thanks for sharing a lot of information with us. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't talked about?
There is one more thing. The Forest Service is pretty committed to engaging robustly, differently than we have in the past, and this plan can't be created without public input. So community voices, tribal voices, citizen voices are really important. We can't create this plan without it, so really want folks to lean in with us to develop this plan together.
Barb Miranda is the Deputy Forest Supervisor for the Tongass. She was speaking with Coast Alaska's Angela Denning. The U.S. Forest Service is partnering with Spruce Root and Juneau Economic Development Council to help with public engagement. Spruce Root is a regional nonprofit focused on the economy, and they're sharing a survey to find out what people think about the Tongass. You can find links to the old plan and the survey on our website at kstk.org. In other regional news, in Juneau, backyards are also home to bears, eagles, whales, and more. It's one of the reasons people love living here. But earlier this month, some close encounters with a killer whale reminded people just how wild the city is. Anna Canny has the story.
It was a sunny Friday in Juneau, and Lindsay Bloom was eager to get outside and enjoy it.
I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a little paddleboard. I'm going to just watch the sun sparkle in the water. That's going to like light me up from just a day of emails and whatever else. And then I'll go get the kids. I mean, it just seems so benign.
At Bloom's home on Lena Loop Road, the ocean is practically part of her backyard. So she goes paddleboarding often. But this particular afternoon was far from routine. A few minutes into her paddle, she spotted a pod of orcas, four or five of them, out on the horizon. She took a video to send to her parents, but then she spotted a shadow underneath her.
I looked down, and I saw this white color, and then her fin sliced up out of the water.
Before she knew what was happening, a large female killer whale lifted her paddleboard up out of the water.
And at that moment, it was like terror.
The board bobbed as Bloom stood frozen. The whale circled her about half a dozen times, diving under the board and then spinning around to look up. Bloom said they made eye contact.
And then I started talking to her. I was like, I have kids. Please go away.
Eventually, the whale did go away, and Bloom was able to make it to shore safely, though she was really shaken up. But later that afternoon, the whale sidled up to Matt Musselwhite's red skiff. He was sailing near Point Louisa, just a few hundred yards down the shoreline. When he saw her black fins glistening at the surface of the water, he cut the engine to let the whale safely pass.
And instead, she just turned and charged right up to me and ran her dorsal fin down the side of the boat and went circle around the boat a couple of times and then took off to join the rest of her pack.
Musselwhite said the whale was gentle.
I think she might have been a curious teenager just coming to check out my little boat.
Marine mammal specialist Susie Tierlink with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said there were at least three reports of close encounters with this orca, who was, in fact, a teenager, though no one has been able to identify the specific whale or the pod it belongs to. In a social media video posted by another paddler, the whale splashes around making circles before poking her head out and spraying from her blowhole. Tierlink said that most of the time, killer whales will keep their distance when they come across people.
At the same time, they're really smart, really curious animals, and they're at home in their environment, and if something strikes their curiosity, they might kind of push that envelope.
Tierlink said it's best for whales and people to keep our distance.
So we don't want killer whales to get, individuals to get too comfortable going up to people and getting that close to people.
So if you encounter a whale yourself, Tierlink's advice is to move away as quickly as possible. Orcas tend to migrate over large areas relatively quickly. So while they're pretty common in Juneau, the curious teenage whale and her pod have probably left the area by now. Bloom said learning more about the animal's curious nature has calmed her fears a bit. She feels there's a reputation around the meat-eating marine mammals, which made her feel more afraid in the moment.
We call them killer whales, which now I'm like, yeah.
Why do we have to call them that? Because it just makes them, like, scarier than they need to be.
And in the week since the close encounter, she's come to appreciate it, in a way.
This is so Alaska. Like, all you got to do is walk out your front door and, like, it's epic.
But for now, she's planning to paddleboard on Auk Lake instead. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
And that wraps up our local segment. Stay with us for All Things Considered.